Good morning, Connecticut, and to our friends across the Sound, it's John Vocat, Director of Public Affairs for Connoisseur Media. Thanks for tuning into our award-winning For the People, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. Did you know that March is National Developmental Disability Awareness Month? Well, on the heels of a workshop I just moderated last weekend up in Boston on the subject, we're going to be featuring three segments highlighting organizations in the region that support and work to empower the one out of every five community members here in Connecticut living with a disability, as well as an agency working to protect and serve victims of domestic violence. We're going to open showcasing the great work of Connecticut-based Disability Solutions and what they're doing here and across the country to help employ folks with disabilities. Then we're going to pop in for a visit with the founder and some of the cool kids developing their talents and careers at Pilot House. And we'll close inviting you to bowl a strike against domestic violence next weekend at the 30th annual bowl to benefit the Umbrella Center for Domestic Violence Services. They're a division of BH Care, which also serves thousands of folks across much of Southern Connecticut with developmental and physical disabilities. So don't go away. We'll be back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Vocat, right after this reminder. Working smoke alarms in a home cut the risk of death by half, and the American Red Cross is looking for people to volunteer their time and help save lives at the Sound the Alarm Home Fire Safety and Smoke Alarm Installation event coming up on April 28th in New Haven between 8 and 2. Sound the Alarm in New Haven and be part of the nationwide Red Cross effort to help reduce the number of deaths and injuries from home fires. Volunteer signups are available for both individuals and teams, so grab your friends and family and help make a difference together. All you need to do is go to their website to get started. It's soundthealarm.org/Connecticut. All right, well, here we are opening the first program of March, and coincidentally, March is National Developmental Disability Awareness Month, so it's appropriate that this month we're going to be highlighting the importance of inclusion in the community, as we have been for all these many years here on the award-winning For the People, as well as inclusion in the workplace. One nonprofit here in Connecticut, Disability Solutions, helps businesses connect with people with disabilities to fill positions from the mailroom to the boardroom. With us today is Kevin McCloskey. He's Director of Partnership Development at Disability Solutions to explain how they're sharing their expertise nationally and locally. So first of all, Disability Solutions, they're a kind of a division or work under the other agency that's a great friend of ours, a longtime partner with others here at Connoisseur Media, Ability Beyond, right?
That's correct. So Disability Solutions is really a consulting arm of Ability Beyond. If you're not familiar with Ability Beyond in Bethel, it's been around for 60-plus years, providing services to individuals with disabilities, both in Connecticut and New York. So Disability Solutions was created about 5 years ago, and we work with corporations across the country, such as Pepsi, Staples, Synchrony Financial, and we really help them put a playbook together to really tap into the largest minority in the United States, which is job seekers with disabilities. And our motto really is to change minds with the employers through education and change the lives of those individuals with disabilities by getting them employed.
Right. I have learned most recently, as I went digging for statistics to lead a workshop that I did up in Boston on the subject last weekend, that 2 out of every 10 people in every community here in Connecticut and across the country and maybe globally has some sort of a disability. So, as you said, this is the largest minority group here in our country and in our state. So it only bears discussion that they should enjoy greater inclusion and presence in our workforce, and you guys are making it happen. Talk about a little bit what defines a disability under the auspices of your organization.
Yeah, great. So again, changing minds. So a lot of the education we do up front is Disability 101. And the term disability is not, you know, it's very broad. It could be a veteran with PTSD, it could be an anxiety disorder, learning disabilities such as ADHD, Down syndrome. There's also physical disabilities, vision, cancer survivors, diabetes. It's very broad. So as you said, it's about 1 out of 5 Americans have some type of disability. And when you think about disability, you think about those that are you can see visually see, or you know, they're physical, that you can actually see that they have a disability. Mm-hmm. When the truth is, about 70% of all disabilities are hidden.
And then there are individuals who, through their work and service in the armed forces, in the workforce, or through household accidents or other incidents, become disabled. They're not born with their disability.
That's correct. We have a lot of individuals with disabilities aging into disability for the first time. And as you mentioned, we work with a lot of veterans with disabilities returning back to the civilian workforce, coming home with some type of disability, whether it be physical or PTSD or something else they got along the way.
Hmm. And while one out of every five people that we will encounter, every one out of five of our neighbors, coworkers, folks we go to church with or sit next to in the movie theater have some sort of disability, nearly half of employers apparently are challenged in hiring qualified folks. And this is where you guys come in.
That's right. The disability unemployment rate is very high, much higher than that of a typical individual. And again, employers, like you said, almost 50% are really having challenges finding the right talent. So our job is to, one, again, help your company tap into that large pool that's usually not tapped at all. So we help them find those great talent out there. I mean, I work with them across the country. There's wonderful talent out there that are great for your company. I like to say we're helping you find the right person to fit your business needs, and they so happen to have some type of disability.
And part of the work that you're trying to do, and of course we've been working on for so many years here on our program, is breaking down and eliminating the stigma. And part of what you guys do so well, as you said, kind of putting the Disability 101 lessons out there for all who would be receptive, trying to make people aware that if they don't have an individual in their immediate circle of influence who may have a disability or one that they know of, they really need to start thinking of individuals with disabilities just like everyone else. So anybody who has ever needed a job or felt that incredible rush of happiness or that trepidation, that kind of excited trepidation when they've either learned they've got and then started a new job and then they get that first paycheck and they go to the bank and they put it in, maybe go out and get a beer or a pizza or something, these exact same emotions and feelings are not only happening to you and me, but the folks with disabilities experience the exact same thing.
Absolutely. You talk about fear and stigma. We work with Synchrony Financial, and we had a lot of job seekers out there in Ohio looking, we've heard some horror stories. They've rolled in with a wheelchair and immediately disqualified just because they're in a wheelchair. Mm. Now, why can't they do that job in a call center? They absolutely are definitely qualified, and we've seen some wonderful hires out there with Synchrony Financial. So we continue to break down those barriers. One thing we do when we start with employers is, again, the education show. We do a Disability 101. We also do a fear and stigma class where we use that opportunity, again, to educate and say, hey, these are the different types of disabilities out there. These are the stigmas you might have. These are the stats. We go into a company with stats from, all across the United States, but we also have clients that have proven that this method works. There's higher retention. These individuals are staying longer. They're loyal. They are a great, great add value to your company.
Mm. And in the bad news, good news scenario, I'm learning that taxpayer-funded programs and Medicaid coverage are becoming more at risk. So nonprofit organizations like yours are partnering and banding together to help folks with disabilities overcome employment barriers that they're facing.
Absolutely. So part of my job is I'm the director of partnership development. So when working with a local employer, let's say we go to Phoenix, I help that company do some outreach to all the community partners in that area that serve job seekers with disabilities. And we're seeing it more often that, usually there's a little competition between community-based organizations because, they're fighting to get their individuals placed into a job. So we're really starting to look at partners really partnering up with each other, using each other's resources, using their training spaces to train these job seekers. To really, really tap into a good, talent pool, make sure these individuals are qualified, well-trained, ready to go into an interview and be successful, and not only get the job, but keep the job as well.
Excellent. And folks, if you're interested in learning more about this organization, it's a nice, easy website, disabilitysolutionsatwork.org. We're about halfway through our chat with Kevin McCloskey. He's, as he said, Director of Partnership for Disability, Director of Partnership Development for Disability Solutions, I should say. So your partners run the gamut from organizations like the Wounded Warrior Project to the Salvation Army. And you're also tied in with the Association of People Supporting Employment First. Tell us about APSE.
Yeah, absolutely. So APSE is the only national organization with inclusive focus on employment opportunities for individuals with disabilities. So each state has a chapter. Connecticut's APSE's board is actually chapter presidents are from Ability Beyond, which is our mother company. Mm-hmm. Kate Travis and Carrie O'Connell doing a great job there. So we support, you know, not only the efforts of the community partners across the country, but obviously Ability Beyond, who we know does a phenomenal job. So their major accomplishment happened last year as a board. They hosted their first ever APSE conference in Connecticut. That happened this past October. I was honored and got the opportunity to present on some of the work we've done with Pepsi. We've created a model called Pepsi Act, which stands for Achieving Change Together. So we have a national Pepsi Act initiative that we help to get job seekers with disabilities employed with Pepsi. So again, I got the opportunity to work with APSE locally, as well as about 2 years ago, I spoke at their national convention.
So through this initiative to date, about 300 folks have been added to the payroll at Pepsi across the countries who have disabilities. Tell us a little bit about some of the other stats tied to Pepsi Act.
Sure. So in about 2013, we started ACT, Pepsi Act, Achieving Change Together, and really added to their overall talent strategy. Again, it's an untapped pool of talent, so we helped them realize that. And the cool thing about Pepsi Act is, you know, throughout some initiatives in the past, really focused on maybe some entry-level jobs, Pepsi wanted to look at all their jobs across the board. So we've been hiring people from the warehouse all up to department managers. We like to say from the mailroom to the boardroom. I believe you said that earlier.
Yeah.
We've also implemented in 9 cities, which is a huge success. Like you said, we have over 300 employees with disabilities hired. So we're doing some great stuff there. And again, we talked about the stats of, you know, that there's a talent value and a market value in hiring people with disabilities. And we've seen that with our clients. So with Pepsi, we've seen that we're not only getting these people hired, but they are staying in those jobs. We're seeing a 14% higher retention rate with the individuals that we're bringing in. In some sites, we've seen a huge decrease in interview to hire ratios. So when you're doing less interviewing, you're able to bring on some great talent and train that talent and obviously create some more business. And one thing HR teams also love in compliance is we've been able to increase voluntary self-disclosure by 50%. So individuals are not only coming in, you know, as talented individuals with disabilities, they're also there and saying, hey, I have a disability. I'm proud to work for this organization. And they're, you know, it's just a good cultural inclusion culture altogether, and it's really positive for not only the job seeker, but the employees that are working with them and the company in general.
So, Kevin, it sounds like the bottom line is really the bottom line here. Hiring people with disabilities at a greater rate actually makes industry and commercial businesses money.
Absolutely. We like to say, take it away from charity. It's a great business model. It makes sense. And when you put your dollars into it and make it a business plan, You really work at it to make it work. It's not something that gets cut, you know, if the sales aren't going good. So we really liked our companies to invest in it because we see, you know, like you said, it's hitting the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. And you guys are really trendsetters along with Ability Beyond, who is now working with almost 400 or has worked with 400 different local employers right here in Connecticut and Westchester County over the past 20 years, placing people with disabilities. What are the kinds of jobs that are typically available, you say, from the mailroom to the boardroom? Tell us a little bit about how folks, employers and HR people qualify individuals to make sure they're getting slotted into the best opportunities, both for the individuals and the companies hiring them.
It's funny. We always, again, when we go in and educate those companies, they're always, like, you know, what job should we target for people with disabilities, or, you know, what's the best job for a person with disability? And the real answer is, what, you know, what do you have? Again, we talked about the different types of disabilities. Those different types of abilities, there's a huge background. The reality is that talent pool of people with disabilities includes job seekers with, you know, a wide and diverse range of education, degrees, professional certifications, work experience, skills. So it's not a person with disability. We can't just fit them in any job. Again, we're looking at the talent out there. You know, what are you qualified for? What are you going to be most successful at? And then again, we place that person into the company, and they, you know, like I said, they are the right person for your business, right person for your company, and they so happen to have a disability.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, once again, when you look at the bottom line, it's not just about companies, it's about the general population and the tax dollars and where we put it and how it's allocated to underwrite and supplement organizations and individuals with disabilities who both have the talent and ability and the desire to get out into the workforce and become less reliant on public money, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We want to help those individuals, you know, get off any disability they're getting. We want to help these organizations that are providing these services to be able to provide services for those not getting services at the time. I mean, it's just a win-win all around for just the business, community, and the United States altogether.
Excellent. Well, pardon me. Tell us a little bit about where folks can go to learn more before we say farewell to you for today, Kevin McCloskey.
Sure. To learn more about Disability Solutions, what we're doing, success stories, how we do it, you can visit disabilitytalent.org. We also have a career center specifically designed for job seekers with disabilities and employers looking to diversify their workforce. So it's much like a monster career builder, but again, specifically for job seekers with disabilities. That is disabilitysolutionstalent.org. And for more about Connecticut APSE, you can visit APSE.org/chapter/Connecticut.
Excellent. Kevin McCloskey, great to meet you. He's Director of Partnership Development for Disability Solutions, as you heard here during National Developmental Disability Awareness Month in March. This organization helps businesses connect with people with disabilities to fill positions from the mailroom to the boardroom. And we appreciate you taking time to be with us and walk us through all of this great information, Kevin McCloskey, and we'll talk to you again soon. Right, it's nice and quiet here now, but I can imagine when everybody's busy at work here at the Pilot House down in Fairfield that it can get quite noisy. We're here in the media center right now. I just had an incredible tour of this building that looks so austere from outside in the parking lot, but when you get inside, you're hit with all kinds of brightly colored rooms and hallways and various catacombs of activity, from a gym to a workroom to a photography studio here in the media studio, a really great organization that we learned about a few years ago from its founder, Doreen Caruso, who's here with us. I'm also joined by one of the Pilot House gang, Jamie Finlaw, and we're going to talk to her and a couple of other folks in just a little while. But the Pilot House is a Love CT grant recipient. They've been a great friend of ours at Connoisseur Media now for a few years, and we discovered them when Doreen approached us to talk to us about how she sort of came up with a dream and was motivated to help folks with autism and other special needs and to give them the means and support to maximize their personal growth, self-esteem, and independence. And certainly from all the young people that I've met here so far, it's working.
I think so. I think we've moved forward. We've come full circle in the last 11 years. So most of these students, a couple of students that you met today, have been with me since the beginning. So My son for even longer. My son is now 19, almost 19, and is attending some class at Norwalk Community College. So we're proud, and he's working. He does his work at the farm, so he's at our other location.
Yeah, so take us back all the way to the beginning and how this idea turned into what we're sitting in here today now over a decade later.
Well, the vision originally has always been to take them from a young age up and through adulthood. So it took us a little while to get here, but I'm proud that I can finally say that we finally have come to the point where now we've given them the skills, we've given them the education and the support, and now we're turning what they've learned over the last 11 years now into a job at our new storefront and our new program called Yes, We Can.
Well, take me back to before this was ever even established and the applications were in for the nonprofit.
Well, my son was young, and being a part of a PTA, I realized that there was very little opportunity out there. We'd go knock on doors to see if our kids could participate in programs, and because of their various disabilities or needs, people were a little intimidated by our kids. Mm-hmm. And so it was heart-wrenching for me that I have a young boy who wants to be like all of his peers and have opportunities like they do to go and be a kid. So realizing that there wasn't anything out there, myself and some other friends of mine decided that we needed to create it so that they had the same opportunity as everybody else did. Mm-hmm. So Pilot House was born.
So did you sort of go through a fact-finding phase and then establish this location? What was the building process like to where we are sitting today?
What originally happened was it was sort of a sign. There was an ad in the newspaper about Fairfield being given an opportunity from the Department of Defense that there was a building here in town that they were going to be turning over. So they asked for application processes from nonprofits. So I had been struggling with the idea of wanting to start something, but where, how, and with what. Mm-hmm. So then that's when a group of friends of mine decided that this was our opportunity to start something. So we started the nonprofit with in hopes that that would become our location. Unfortunately, it didn't come to fruition. So we began in the basement of a school building here in town. I had gone and approached some people mm-hmm. and asked if it would be possible for us to run an after-school program. And so we were granted some space at Fairfield Woods Middle School. And then obviously we outgrew that very quickly because mm-hmm. of the need. And so I went back to the town and said, you know, nothing's happening yet with High Street. It still hadn't been turned over from the Department of Defense. Is there something you could do for us? You know, we have this huge need and we're outgrowing the space that we have. Mm-hmm. So at the same time, this location, 240 Colony Street, where another non-for-profit was leaving. And so the town offered us this space back in 2009. Mm-hmm. So we've been here since then. And we've loved it. It's been ideal for us. And then we also, a couple of years ago, expanded. As you know, you had us on the show to talk about our expansion at our community farm. So we have two locations now, which we're very excited about to be able to meet the needs of this growing population. Mm-hmm. There's just very limited resources out there for them to really express who they are in different avenues. So that's mm-hmm. our belief here at Pilot House, is giving them an opportunity to see what their potential is and what they like to do. So that's why we have all the various activities that we offer, to see what their interests are and to pique them. Mm. Our belief is inside of each and every one of them, there's a gift and a talent. You just have to channel it.
More than one, as I'm seeing from Jamie, who's sitting here with us, not only painting images that are then photographed and turned into greeting cards, but also taking photographs that are then graphically modified into these greeting cards, one of just a number of products that you'll be selling that we'll be talking about in a couple of minutes. Very exciting. Coming up on March 10th, in just a few days as we broadcast this program, the grand opening of the Yes We Can gift shop here at the Pilot House in Fairfield, open to the public. And they invite everyone to come on down either for the grand opening or to learn more about the organization online at The Pilot House, thepilothouse.org, where you can find out the hours of the gift shop and come down and peruse all the cool things that they're making. So, Doreen, is it true, or do I have it straight, that while this was sort of set up more as a recreation and a venue for these young folks to kind of self-discover their best talents and abilities, that the farm kind of started off more as a fast track to assist some of these Pilot House kids to begin to develop more of a hands-on employment situation, and then as a result of the discovery process and getting all of the kids here at the
at the location on High Street to develop things that could then be sold at the Yes We Can gift shop. The kind of revenue generating aspect that developed here came later?
No. Well, it sort of is encompassing. The dream has always been that we would take them from what we were doing here into some type of a life skill that they would take away from it. So it's always been sort of encompassing. The farm complements that. So the farm gives us the opportunity to teach them other skills that we aren't teaching here. So, for instance, at the farm, we're teaching them how to landscape. We're teaching them how to grow the vegetables and the herbs that we're then filtering over into our bath products and into our organic dog treats. So it's really kind of just complements what we do here and gives them just another avenue. For those students that like to be outside, that don't want to be confined within four walls, it gives them the opportunity to get back to nature and to get their hands dirty.
And where is the farm?
The farm is here in Fairfield as well. That's up on 1230 Merwin's Lane. So we have our Colony Street location, and then we have the Merwin's Lane location.
Okay. And is the farm open to the public year-round? Can folks go there and buy farm fresh produce or other products that are that you're doing up there?
Well, right now we will be doing the garden again, so we will be selling those in the spring. Our goal eventually is once we get this location underway with selling our products, then we'll move that up there as well. And then also we do have an online shop, so we're going to be hopefully taking this not only from here to our farm location so that our recipients up in Greenfield Hill can benefit from what we're selling here, but then also online so that people across the country. So we're really hoping to take this nationwide and really, you know, share the message that they're that, you know, yes, they can. You just need to believe.
And the farm products that are grown up there, people can go to that location to like a farm stand when everything's in season?
Correct. We'll set up, but we do a farm stand up there, and then we also bring some stuff down here. So we keep, again, the two locations open. And then we do go to some local farmers markets so that the kids are out in the public. You know, the young adults are out in the public and, you know, spreading their mission and you know showing what you know showing the world what they're capable of.
Yeah, excellent. So once you established yourself here at Colony Street, was there always an idea that some sort of a retail or a location to purvey the kids' work was going to be part of it?
Well, there's a dream. There's a three-step dream. Yeah. The dream was first to give them opportunity, which we've done. Successfully, I believe. Then it was to employ them, which we are successfully doing going forward now. And the third dream is to give them housing. So the long-term vision of where we'd like to see it is we have our storefront, we have our activity center, and then we have our housing. So we've got one more thing to accomplish and check off the box.
Yeah, and at the same time, you're also taking care of health and wellness because it looks like you toured me through a pretty well-equipped exercise studio. There's like a there's theater arts. I assume there's some sort of maybe dancing or something that goes on. A lot of avenues for these folks to get involved in and sort of transition into a ton of different things.
Absolutely. I mean, right now, the push for the last few years, honestly, John, has been dealing with our young adults because there's such a crisis in our in our in our country, but in our state, dealing with what to do with them life after 21. So that and the teenage years where they realize that they're different and they're not getting those social opportunities. So our push for the last few years really has been this age bracket. So now our next push going back is going to be back where it all began, is with our little ones. So we've kind of brought our kids full circle from where they've come from with us, and now we're kind of circling back again and kind of picking back up where we left off with really trying to get more of our younger kids in here and showing them what the benefit is. If you start with us at a young age, we can take you from the young age, give you the skills that you need to then develop into a young adult that is employable. So that's what we're going for next, is to go circle back around and recruit some more younger ones and say, hey, look at what we can do. So that's where we're going.
Great. If you've gotten inspired by this already, as I have when I first heard about the place, you can go to the pilothouse.org and find out all about everything that the Pilot House is doing. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk a little bit more with founder Doreen Caruso, as well as Jonathan and Jamie, I hope, and some of the other kids that are here today on a relatively quiet morning. We're also going to talk about how if you want to help by patronizing the Yes We Can gift shop, either here in Connecticut or wherever you can listen to us via podcast anywhere throughout the world when they open up their virtual store. We're going to invite you to a fantastic event that's coming up tied to a Mardi Gras Teen Night later this month, as well as another fantastic event that you can rock the Yacht Club in April. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes with all of the great folks here at the Pilot House in Fairfield.
Do you love Connecticut? If you do, there are hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots causes that would love to have your support. You can learn about many of them through Love CT. Just go to our radio station website, hit the event guide tab, and click on to Love CT to help the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. Right now, Love CT also has funds to donate to a local charity. If you're part of or know of an organization in Connecticut that would like to be a beneficiary of the Love CT Fund, submit your request at lovect.org. Look for Love CT all over Connecticut and get involved. Love CT is powered by Allied Building Products, Planet Fitness, and Chips Family Restaurants. Learn more at lovect.org. I'm Director of Public Affairs John Voquette. We'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. Have you heard about Brackets for Good? It's an online bracket-style fundraising tournament for local charities where they compete with one another to see who can raise the most money each round. The winning team out of all 59 charities that are enrolled in Connecticut will receive an additional $10,000 for their organization. The Community Renewal Team is competing in Brackets for Good in Connecticut this year. All the money that organization raises during the event will go directly to support those causes. For CRT, the money is being raised to support their emergency fuel bank. So to help individuals and families pay for unexpected home heating costs, you can call 860-230-4535 or just visit the Connecticut Bracket at connecticut.bfg.org/bracket.
All right, we're back. Thanks for sticking with us. We're down in Fairfield at The Pilot House. Their website is thepilothouse.org. We're visiting with Doreen Caruso and Jamie and Jonathan and a number of other of the kids. We got a great tour of the place, as you heard in the first segment of the program this morning. Don't forget, coming up next Saturday as we play this program on March 10th at 10 a.m., the ribbon gets cut and the grand opening of the Yes We Can gift shop happens. And as we heard earlier, that is going to translate into a virtual store as well, so folks can not only come here to Fairfield or go to their farm here in Fairfield and pick up and peruse some of the products that are being made by Pilot House students, but also get involved by supporting the Pilot House at their Mardi Gras Teen Night. That's coming up on Saturday, March 24th from 7 to 9. Tell us about that, Doreen.
Well, every month we have a teen night here, Young Adult Night, where we invite the kids to come and young adults to have a night out like their peers do. So Saturday night, they get dropped off. Typically, it's anywhere from 2 hours to 2.5 hours. They have dinner, they dance, they do games. So every month, we do a different theme. So this month happens to be Mardi Gras. Last month we had our Valentine's Day dance, which was pretty fabulous. The place was decked out. Michael and Anthony and the staff deck it out to the nines. The kids got dressed up and had a great time. So we try to change it up each month to give them, you know, something fun to do on a Saturday night, and their parents get a break that they can go out and have dinner, enjoy their own company as well.
Now, is that open to the public for parents to come here with kids who aren't regularly engaged at the Pilot House to maybe learn about it and get involved, or is it more of a community-centric event?
The teen night is all just our young adults, so we don't have parents here. It's really a drop-off program, so we do open it up to the general public, but we do require that you are a membership just because of liabilities and stuff. Okay. We do require you to be a member of the organization, but we're always inviting new people to join. The more the merrier.
And once again, folks can learn more about that by going to thepilothouse.org online, right?
Correct. Absolutely. All of our information is on the website, or they can give me a call.
Super. And for fun-loving adults of all ages, the Yacht Club, party coming up April 21st. What's that?
Well, we have our annual gala every year, which we get all dressed up and go hang out at Black Rock Yacht Club, which has a beautiful view. We're excited to have it a little bit later this time in the year so that we'll enjoy the sunlight, enjoy the sunset over at the Yacht Club. Mm-hmm. That's one of our biggest fundraisers of the year, where we really hope that people can be kind and generous and come out and support all of the work that we do. Mm-hmm. We really are probably an organization in Fairfield County that truly is zeroing down their budget. Every penny that we raise goes into repurposing what we need to do here and moving the organization forward. None of our staff here, which I think is important for people to understand, is that it really is a labor of love here. They are not getting full pay for what we do here. Most of them are here on volunteer time, or they're getting half of what they'd be getting out in the general public in the world. So they really are here as a labor of love and really trying to help these kids become most productive citizens that they can possibly be.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, my only regret really is that I wasn't here like a month ago, because I think I would have made you guys walk ahead of me, and I would have gone to the card rack and maybe lifted that beautiful red heart greeting card that was made by Jamie here.
Yeah, it was pretty special. Very, very special card.
So maybe I'll figure out how to get it for next Valentine's Day. But I'm happy to meet Jamie. Jamie, how's Doreen doing? Is she getting the whole story straight?
Just good.
Good? So did you learn how to paint first, or did you learn how to do photography first?
Painting.
Yeah. Do you like to paint various kinds of subjects, or do you basically just paint big, beautiful red hearts?
Red hearts.
Yeah. And you also made another greeting card that features your photography, right?
Yeah.
So when did you learn how to take pictures with the camera?
No.
No? Long time ago, or was it just...
Long time ago.
Yeah? What do you like better, painting or photography?
Photography.
Yeah? And do you come to the teen night? Do you go to those dances?
Yes.
A lot of fun?
Yep.
Excellent. Do you ever bring some friends with you?
Yep.
Any of them become members of the Pilot House?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Great. How about the farm? Do you ever go up there and do anything?
Mm-hmm.
Are there animals up there?
Mm-hmm.
Which ones do you take care of?
Horses.
Oh, that's great. Excellent. Do you ride the horses?
Sometimes.
Oh, fantastic. Good. Good. Super. Well, excuse me. I'm really excited that people will be able to come here or go on the internet from like Spain or California and maybe look at your cards and buy them. That's pretty exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
Did you ever think that you would have your creative work on greeting cards that people all over the world could look at and buy?
Yep.
You did. Excellent. That's fantastic. Well, where's Jonathan? Let's
go grab Jonathan.
Let's chat with him. Come on, let's walk, and we'll come back for my coat later. So once again, folks, if you're interested, you can go to thepilothouse.org and learn more about all the great and exciting things going on here. Hello. And once again, we want to remind you that they have monthly teen nights. This one's coming up on Saturday, March 24th, and it has a Mardi Gras theme. And if you're interested in getting involved with that, you just need to go to their website and register to become a member. We're going to speak with them. Good. And also for you adults, this gala.
And I'll grab Michael.
Yeah, sure. Coming up at the Black Rock Yacht Club on Saturday, April 21st from 7 to 11, you can attend their gala fundraiser. So, Jonathan, we've brought the microphone to you, my friend. What are you doing?
I was tracing one of the postal signs, postal codes.
So are these going to be sold in this Yes We Can gift shop?
Of course.
Oh, okay. So the idea is people come and if somebody comes here and is visiting, like, from another state or something, is this something that they could order with their own zip code on it, like in New York or Massachusetts? And then you could get it to them later?
Of course.
Oh, excellent. Well, when did you first start coming to the Pilot House? Tell me a little bit about your experiences here.
I was part of the Kennedy Center, and I was looking for some jobs. It took a long time
mm-hmm.
until Michael called me.
Yeah.
Like since December. He hired me and took a tour with me.
Yeah.
And I got automatically hired.
Oh, excellent. Do you also come here for like the dance nights and other activities, or you just come here to work and then go home?
I work from like 12 o'clock to 5:30.
Oh, okay.
And on Thursdays, 11 o'clock to 6.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And do you come to the parties and the activities as well, or is it just a job, basically?
I do come at parties, too.
A lot of fun?
Yep.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much, and this looks like great work. I can't wait to come back to the Yes We Can gift shop and take a look at all the stuff that you're doing. So I'll probably see you again in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right. Thanks.
Great. And last but not least, who?
Michael?
Caruso.
McPadden.
Oh, Michael McPadden.
Yep.
So you're Doreen's son, and you're one of the people who kind of inspired this whole thing to happen. Tell us a little bit before we hit the road this morning about what your responsibilities are here.
Well, basically, I help out with the craft department and work on the dog treat department and basically just guide the kids and show them how to put everything together. And basically, you know, this has been a dream of ours for a long time to get these kids in here and work in and just show everybody, you know, how talented these kids really are.
Sounds like you have your hand in, like, almost every aspect of what the Pilot House does, including, I guess your mom told me, you're pretty good with the shovel up at the farm.
Yeah.
Basically,
it's a huge team effort here. You know, everybody puts in their part, and, you know, without everybody doing it, we wouldn't be where we are, you know.
Excellent. Well, for all of you guys, thank you for welcoming me here to the Pilot House. I can't wait to come back and go to the store and buy some stuff that you all made. And to Doreen Caruso, ultimately, without whose inspiration and ideas and blood, sweat, and tears, this organization wouldn't be this incredible multi-site and developing opportunity for so many young kids on the autism spectrum and with other special needs. So, Doreen, once again, thank you so much.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. But I have to say
yes.
That it is a team effort here. I may have had the dream, you know, 11
sure.
years ago, but it's not me.
Oh,
I can't do this alone. And all of these, you know, talented people that are here helping day to day is what makes it the dream come as a rally, is made the dream a reality.
Yeah, and dozens, if not hundreds, of volunteers and supporters that have come to the galas and things over the years, grantors and such. From what I'm seeing today, I have no doubt that this not only is going to grow and become a much known entity here in Connecticut, but thanks to your plans to launch this Yes We Can gift shop and the product line from these young people on the web, perhaps. I guess it would be my dream that it could be a model that could develop Pilot House type institutions all around the country or beyond. So thank you for all the great stuff you're doing.
Thank you.
ThePilotHouse.org is the place to go to learn about all of it. If you'd like to become a member, please do, because their Pilot House Teen Night for the month of March is coming up on March 24th. The grand opening of the Yes We Can gift shop is March 10th at 10 a.m. or the Black Rock Yacht Club Gala coming up on Saturday, April 21st from 7 to 11. This and so much more happening. The community farm opening up shortly. They have an equine program we barely even got to talk about. So please visit the Pilot House. And if you know a young person on the spectrum or who may be looking for a way to transition into employment or a great place to socialize and have activities, please learn more about this organization. Thank you so much. All right. Well, we'll wrap up the program talking with a brand new friend from an organization that I have been helping and assisting and promoting for almost my entire career here on the award-winning For the People. This coming Saturday, March 10th, marks the 30th annual Bowl to Benefit, the Umbrella Center for Domestic Violence Services. And while I've been doing this 28 years, it's the very first time that my new friend Julie Johnson, who is the project coordinator for the Family Justice Center at the Umbrella, is involved as an organizer and supporter for this event. So, Julie, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So first of all, the Umbrella Center for Domestic Violence Services is one of the many areas of BH Care. Can you tell us a little bit about how that fits into the bigger BH Care picture?
Sure. BH Care is an organization that, you know, is most known for their behavioral health services, but now they also have the Umbrella Center, which has been a program of for quite some years, mm-hmm. and they also have a preventative side of it. So I think that, you know, all these mental health and domestic violence usually go hand in hand, mm-hmm. and their clients can now use services on both ends of you know, that BH Care services, both mental health and domestic violence.
Right. And one of the underwriting and revenue-generating components of the Umbrella is My Sister's Place, which is a great kind of thrift and secondhand shop down in Ansonia, right?
Yes. Yep. So the store, you know, has secondhand clothes and some furniture and whatnot, all the items that people donate. And the proceeds from that store go directly to the Umbrella Center for Domestic Violence Services.
Excellent. Well, folks should know that here in the U.S., about every 9 seconds a woman is battered, and the Umbrella Center for Domestic Violence Services kind of faces those statistics in their communities that they serve every day. And they provide emergency shelter, 24-hour crisis hotline, counseling, court advocacy, and support services to over 6,000 victims of domestic violence and their children. So probably well in excess of 10,000 individuals served every year. So folks, if you're listening, get your friends, your coworkers, your church group, your scout troop together as soon as possible and go to bhcare.org and click on the events page to get information about registering for the Bowl to Benefit. It's coming up next Saturday, March 10th at Bowlero on the Boston Post Road in Milford. This year, there are 5 bowling sessions. They start at 9 a.m. and they go all the way to 7 p.m. So your first shifters can bowl and you second shifters and your third shifters can all bowl too. We hope you'll all come out. It's the 30th anniversary of this incredible event. And well, let's go to our organizer, Julie Johnson. Tell us a little bit about how this all works for people who are learning about this for the first time, but want to dust off their bowling shoes and come on down and benefit this great cause.
Yeah, so, you know, usually people sign up, and they sign up as a team. They have a team captain, and they could sign up online as a team captain, and then they, you know, get family and friends to bowl with them, and everyone could then get their own personal link to their fundraising site, their own fundraising site, so they could, you know, spread that via email or social media. And people can donate through that site. So there's no more going door-to-door collecting donations. It's all virtual. And the good thing about this is that even if you weren't able to get down on Saturday to bowl in person, you could set up your own team as a virtual bowler. So you don't necessarily have to bowl, but you could still collect donations for the event. And as you said, it's the 30th anniversary, but you know, a lot of the funding that comes for the Umbrella Center is through private donations. And so, because domestic violence is, you know, a real issue and social issue and community issue, that, you know, we'd like to get as many people involved, not only just to raise money, but to come out and see the wonderful people who, you know, work for the Umbrella Center and work for BH Care and who are part of an organization that help people every day with domestic violence services and empower them to, you know, move on with their lives and get the support that they need.
We also don't want to keep it a secret that people can also come to the Bowl to Benefit if they want to get to know this organization and volunteer that day and maybe continue their volunteerism with either the Umbrella or My Sister's Place or BH Care. And another secret that we need to make sure everybody is aware of, because they only have the rest of today, Sunday, and the rest of the week to kind of go up into the attic and the basement and the garage and clean out their closets, because Not only can folks come out and bowl or register to virtual bowl to benefit the BH Care and the umbrella, they can come to the bowl to benefit and drop off all of their clothes. You're having a clothing drive.
Yes, so they are also taking clothing that day. You can come down to Bolero and you could, you know, bring any unwanted clothes, and then they will bring those to my sister's place to, you know, to donate to the store for fundraising purposes.
Excellent. So what's the logistics? They register to bowl, and then as long as there's a slot available within one of the five bowling sessions, then they click on and put their team or themselves into that slot?
Yep. So they will go online, and then they could either, you know, if the team captain, usually we tell the team captains to register their team first, and then the people will go on there and say, go to part of that team. And they could, you know, give a suggestion to what the time slot that they would like.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And teams are 4 to 5 people?
Yeah, usually they're about 4 to 5 people. It is a $5 registration fee, and then the people are, you know, it's a suggestion that they each raise about $50 each.
In pledges, sure. And that's pretty easy to raise. It's not some astronomical number that they have to come up with in the course of a week or a few days when they hear this program, either on the air or through the podcast. And they get 90 minutes of bowling. They get a T-shirt, right? And all the
t-shirt
stuff
and the shoes and the 90 minute of bowling, and there's activities and during that time, and so it should be a good time to even get some friends together who haven't seen each other in a while, and you know, support a great cause.
Mm-hmm. And this is not a competition, so you don't have to be like on a bowling team or a really good bowler to participate, right? You can put the ball between your legs and just shove it down the lane, right?
Yes.
Super. And I hear there's raffles or something, right?
Yes, I believe there's raffles there. There's food available, you know, all sorts of activities.
Okay. And while folks can come down with their gently used clothing to donate to the My Sister's Place clothing drive, mm-hmm. Or show up and maybe find a way to volunteer and learn more about the organization, I guess the idea is we really want them to spend the next rest of today or the next few days getting the team together, trying to raise about $50 each and getting registered in advance. It may not be possible for them to show up unannounced and unregistered in bowl that day, right?
Right, yeah, because they, although there are 5 time slots, there are some time slots that may fill up sooner than others,
sure.
So you may not be able to come in and register that day, so they, at least the team captain needs to register for to secure their spot in which time slot.
Yeah, and with 30 years on with this event, it has become so popular that usually about every year, 1,200 or more folks are waiting for the registration to open, never mind waiting for the last week. So there are a lot of folks who make this an annual thing, either with their coworkers or their friends or their church group. Some folks may not even see each other unless they're showing up and bowling together at the Bowl to Benefit.
Yep. Yes, that's true. And I know that even, you know, BH Care employees, they have you know, a large amount of just BH Care employees who participate in this event, whether they bowl or they volunteer for the day or they help in some other way. They're, you know, even those part of the organization are, you know, doing everything they can to support the event because it is so important to, you know, raise money for the Umbrella Center.
And before we let you go, let's put the spotlight back on you, Julie Johnson. You're project coordinator for the Family Justice Center. What role does the Family Justice Center play in the Umbrella organization?
So the Family Justice Center is basically one-stop shop for family justice for victims of domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And we are trying to make one happen in New Haven. And so We've been working with all different social service agencies that already provide services to domestic violence victims, but we're trying to put them all in one place so that the victim doesn't have to go from, you know, appointment to appointment. They just go and see all the benefits they can in one place. VH Care has taken the lead on the project in New Haven, and so the Umbrella Center is a program of VH Care, and the Family Justice Center will be under the Umbrella Center. So, you know, so because VH Care is so committed to assisting victims of domestic violence, they've started this project, or spearheaded, I should say, this project of the Family Justice Center project, and we're hoping to make it happen within the next year.
Excellent. One of the worthy ways that you can benefit BH Care, it's the 30th annual Bowl to Benefit coming up next Saturday, March 10th at Bolero on the Boston Post Road in Milford. There's five sessions, 9 a.m., 11:30, 2, 4:30, and 7. Make the 30th year the biggest year and the best year, whether it's the 30th year that you're bowling or the first. We hope you'll come out. You just need to go to bhcare.org, click on the events tab, and you'll find out how to register. They do want you to register in advance or get all your clothes together and bring them down to the My Sister's Place clothing drive, or just get your friends and folks together and show up and volunteer on that day. It could start and be the beginning of a great volunteerism experience for you. Julie Johnson, thanks so much for being part of the program. She's project coordinator for the Family Justice Center. We're going to come back and talk to you more about that effort, Julie. It sounds really important and exciting, and we want to learn more about it. So we'll be talking to you soon. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host and do not necessarily represent the views of Connoisseur Media. If you have a suggestion for a guest, an issue, or a community calendar item relevant to the audience and communities we serve, you must make a request for consideration in writing via email to me at john.voquette@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file, reflecting the full scope of our station's responsiveness to critical issues in the communities we serve, can be viewed upon request weekdays during normal business hours in the New Haven area at 440 Wheelers Farms Road in Milford, and for our Hartford stations at 869 Blue Hills Avenue in Bloomfield. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. This is John Voquette, Director of Public Affairs for Connoisseur Media. Join us again at this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. Don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab at our radio station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.